ladies, for playing. No, brother, how are you?
For our scripture reading this evening, will you turn with me to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, John 14. And we'll read in that chapter beginning with the first verse. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. The Lord Jesus is speaking, of course. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Lord Jesus is an amazing Savior. He's the only Savior. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And this is perhaps one of the most amazing statements in the Word of God. It is amazing because of the ones to whom it was spoken. It was spoken to 11 disciples. Judas had by this time left the company. He went out. And the scripture says he went out and it was night. So these words that we read tonight were addressed by the Lord Jesus to his disciples. And we read of those disciples, Jesus having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. It's amazing because of what he said. Let not your heart be troubled. If there were any people on earth that should have had heart trouble, it were these men whom the Lord addressed. He just got through telling Peter, this outstanding apostle of his, that before that day was over, he would have denied him, even with oaths and curses, 3 times. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he said, in the verse that, just before the verse we read, wilt thou lay down my life for thy sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow, for thou hast denied me thrice. And what were these disciples doing when all this was going on? The Lord Jesus had just instituted a remembrance feast, the Lord's Supper. He'd taken a loaf of bread into his hands. He said, this is my body, which is given for you. He said, this cup is a new testament of my blood, which is shed for you. And Luke tells us that those apostles were arguing among themselves who's going to be number one on the hit parade. Who's going to be the chiefest among the brethren? And the one who was to be the chiefest he said, I'm among you as one that serves. He called not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a slave, being found in fashion as a man. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then there was Judas, who had just left and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. which he never got. Oh, he just got to hold it temporarily. But he threw it down in the temple and went out and committed suicide. It was all for nothing. He threw away his life. And the Lord Jesus said of him, it were good for this man that he had never been born. He didn't say it was good that he wasn't born. He said it was good for this man that he had not been born. He went out in the eternal night. It was amazing when he said it because the Lord Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen to him. It says in John 18, Jesus knowing all things that should come upon him. He knew the cross. He knew what it was going to mean. In fact, in view of that cross, in Gethsemane's garden, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, falling to the ground. Father, he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but there was no other way. There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate to heaven and let us in. In a way, those apostles, three of them at least, or the group of them together, picture the three great enemies that we have to contend with. The Bible tells us of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the way of the world is the world is seeking great things for itself. Who's going to be the greatest? They said. The world's way is to seek great things for itself. Even though the Word of God says, seek not great things for thyself. To seek great things for God, but not for me. That's the way of the world. And the way of the flesh, that's self-confidence. Let me do it. That's what the little kid says. He can hardly walk. Let me do it. Me, me, me. That's the way of the flesh. Self-confidence. I can do it. I can do it. Peter says, you mean to tell me I'm going to deny you? You're looking the wrong fellow. Not me, Lord. After all, I'm the outstanding apostle. Not me. The way of the flesh. And the Lord said to Peter, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The scripture says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, but cursed is everyone that makes flesh his arm. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, the scripture says, and lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Don't depend on you or me or anybody else. And the way of Satan is actually open opposition to the Lord. He goes around like a roaring lion. And he's a deceiver as well. The Lord's word says he deceiveth everybody that comes into the world. All of us get fooled by him. He's a master, trickster. He buffaloes us all the time during our lifetime. And this is what the scripture says. The devil put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. It wasn't Judas' idea. It was planted. It was an idea planted and it found seed in the devil's, in Judas' heart. And the reason it found seed was because Judas was a covetous man. And many a person is going to be in hell because of the love of money. The Lord Jesus said, beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. It's not how much you have that counts. A man's life doesn't consist in that. A lot of people have the idea that the more they have, the happier they are, and the greater they are. The Lord said, don't kid yourself. Man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. In John 13 and verse 1 it says, Jesus knew that his hour was come, knew all things that should come upon him, And the scripture says when the time was come that he should be received up, he had a perfect right to go back to heaven because of a perfect life. Nobody else has ever lived a perfect life here on earth. If you have a perfect life, live a perfect life, you have a right to go to heaven on the basis of your life. The problem is that none of us have done it. But he had. God opened the heavens to say, on two occasions, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The scripture says when the time was come that he should be, he should go back to heaven. It says he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. That was where he was going to be tried and sentenced to be crucified. Well, they had a lot of troubles, didn't they? And on the face of that, the Lord says, and it's one of the most amazing statements in the Word of God, let not your heart be troubled. Every one of them should have died of heart failure. He said, let not your heart be troubled. And he gave them three reasons why they shouldn't have heart trouble. And none of the reasons were because of anything that was in them. All because of him. After all, he came into the world to save sinners. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. They're not going to do it. It's not part him and part me. He's the Savior. I want you to notice he said, let not your heart be troubled. He didn't say not let your, he didn't say let not your hearts be troubled. Because the Lord Jesus knew their hearts, and he knew that every one of their hearts, deep down inside, there was a love and a devotion to him. Let not your heart, their heart be just as one. Let not your heart be troubled. He's about to leave them to return to heaven because it's the way of the cross that leads home. And I want you to notice the great physician. He's called the great physician in Scripture, and so he is. There's never been a physician like him. I haven't met a physician yet that can heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and give life to the dead. Have you met anybody like that? The Lord Jesus did that when he was here. And he gives his solution to past, present, and future. First of all, he takes care of the past. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, he's not going up to heaven building any buildings, any mansion for you. They're already there. He didn't say, in my Father's house there will be. He says, they're there. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. He's not building abodes in heaven. He had said earlier to those Jews, you know, God had this temple there at Jerusalem. God was pleased to dwell there. But when the Lord Jesus came to the end of his earthly ministry, he said concerning that temple, your house, not God's house. He said, you have made my Father's house a den of thieves. It's my Father's house, but it's your house now. And it's left unto you desolate. And in AD 70, the temple was destroyed. And they had no visible evidence at all that God had ever dwelt among them. He said, I want to tell you about another place. My Father's house. Says Jesus, knowing that he was come from God and went to God. He'd just been down here for a while on a missionary journey. The Father had sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He was about to accomplish that great work on Calvary. There the Bible tells us in that lone, mysterious hour on the cross, he knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I go to prepare a place for you. Way back in the book of Genesis, you read that Abraham saw the place afar off. The place where God had told him he was to offer up his son on one of the mountains, one. The mountains, so I'll tell thee up. And he went up on that mountain there, he took the knife in his hands to slay his well-beloved son. God had said, take now thy son, thine only son, and thou lovest, and offer him up. Abraham rose up early in the morning. There was no question in his mind. For the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11 that he accounted that God was able to raise him up from the dead, from whence also received him in a figure. He knew that God had to raise him from the dead because God said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And if he killed his son, God would have to raise him up to fulfill his word. Oh, the faith of Abraham. He took God at his word. I was over in Israel some years ago, and you know they got this Mohammedan mosque. And they claim, I think it's correct, that at that very spot, and you could reach in your hand, and I did, and felt this rock. I couldn't see it. But they claim on that very rock, right in the place where the temple stood, that's the place where Abraham offered up his son to God. He saw the place far off. In one of the homes in the Bahamas, one of the business places, I should say, they've got a sign. There's no place anywhere near this place like this place, so this must be the place. And the first time I read that, I thought of a hymn that we sing. O cross of Christ, O glorious tree, what place can be compared with thee? Where God's own Son was crucified and for our sins a ransom died. Someone has well said, God spared Abraham's heart a pang which he did not spare himself. And the apostle says, he that spared not his own Son, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Because everything that God has is in Christ. We sing in one of our hymns, all that thou hast for me. All my fresh springs are hid in thee. In thee I live while I confess I nothing am yet all possess. God will provide himself a lamb. Abraham spoke more than he knew. Because the lamb that God was going to provide was none other than God manifest in flesh. Great is the mystery of God as God was manifest in flesh. John says in his opening gospel, of this gospel. Concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. He's the Creator. And then He says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And it's this one that John the Baptist pointed the finger at and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And I'll tell you, it's a wonderful thing to recognize when you look away and you see God's Lamb taking your place on Calvary, dying in your room instead. I love the lines written by Mary Boley Peters. We love to sing them. She wrote, on the Lamb, my soul is resting. What His love no tongue can say, all my sins, so great, so many, in His blood are washed away. Sweetest rest and peace have filled me, sweeter praise than tongue can tell. God is satisfied with Jesus, and I am satisfied as well. Conscience now no more condemns me, for His own most precious blood once for all has washed and cleansed me. Cleanse me in the eyes of God. Ah, yes, He says, I go. Aren't you glad He then went all the way to Calvary? Went for me. I go. I go to prepare a place for you. The disciples were seeking a place of greatness for themselves. Who's going to be the greatest? And the Lord was seeking a place of service. I'm among you as one that serves. And as far as God is concerned, that's the way to true greatness. It's not being a lord or a king. It's being a servant. The Lord Jesus said, you remember, to his disciples, whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your slave. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. He offers to work with us, to serve with us. Take my yoke upon you. He says, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. O patient, spotless one, our hearts in meekness strain to bear thy yoke and learn of thee, that we may rest obtain. Three times over the Lord Jesus says, whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and whosoever humbles himself shall be exalted. I am among you as one that serves. Came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He not only takes care of the past, all of our past guilt, by going to Calvary, he takes care of the present for us. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want you to notice, he doesn't say, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto God but by me. He doesn't say that. He says, no one comes unto the Father but by me. The only one that can come to him at all is children. You can come to God, but you can't come to the Father unless you're a child. The Father himself loveth you. Children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, to as many as receive the Lord Jesus, to them he gives the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name which were born. You have to be born into the family to be a member of God's family. Which were born, not of blood, you don't inherit it, you're not a Christian because your mother's a Christian or your father's a Christian. They can't pass it on like they can pass their money to you. They can't pass that on. It's not of blood. It's not of the will of man. No pope, no preacher, no priest. No one. No human being can give it to you. Not of the will of man. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done or anybody else has done. It's not of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but it's of God. You have to make personal application. You have to personally, individually say, Lord Jesus, I want to be saved. I want to be a member of the family of God. Lord Jesus, I'll trust you. I'll trust you with you, my soul. I'm guilty, lost, and helpless, but thou couldst make me whole. There's none in heaven or on earth like thee. Thou hast died for sinners. I qualify. Therefore, Lord, for me. And I'll tell you, if you come to him that way, he's yet to refuse anyone that came. It is him that comes to me. I will in no wise cast out. Peter was trusting in his own strength. He thought he was the way. He was just kidding himself. It was his own way. That was the trouble. He had self-confidence. It wasn't trusting in the Lord. All men deny that. Well, not I. He was trusting in Peter. And Peter disappointed them. His great boast was followed by dismal failure. The Lord said, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, we are the circumcision. You know what the circumcision is? That's where they cut completely around the flesh. You're not the concision. That cuts a little bit of the flesh off. Cuts it all off. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and put a little bit of confidence in the flesh. You remember that scripture? That's not what it says. Put no confidence in the flesh. You can't be trusted as far as you can throw yourself, nor can I either. We cannot trust ourselves. The Bible says, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool. That's God's opinion of you. You're trusting Himself. That'll get you nowhere. You can't lift yourself up by your bootstraps as far as God is concerned. But there was a solution for Peter's difficulty. The Lord Jesus, I have prayed for thee. I'm the way. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. You know, the wonderful thing is that every believer has exactly the same help as Peter did. It says in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, he is able, speaking of the Lord Jesus, he is able to save to the very end all that come unto God by him. See, ever liveth to make intercession for us. I am not kept by my prayers. You are not kept by your prayers. You're being kept by his prayers. And Jesus prays for you. And he prays for me. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. But you know, we can come. Because the Lord Jesus said of his disciples, the Father himself loveth you. Why shouldn't he? He said that when he rose from the dead, go tell my brethren, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. You've got a Father in heaven now. You can come to him. And he says, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he'll give it you. You ever been to a place and you don't know anybody and somebody says, just mention my name. You go there and say, John Brown said, oh, John Brown, come on in. You know, it makes a difference. You've got a name. It makes a difference if you've got a relationship. The Lord Jesus says, you fathers, if your son asks you for a slice of bread, would you give him a stone? And if he asks you for a fish, would you give him a serpent? He said, if ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more your heavenly Father. And when he says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, don't ask for a Cadillac tomorrow because he hasn't authorized you to ask for that. When you're acting in his name, that means you're asking for what you know he would want. A man goes away on a business trip and he says to his employee, he says, well, I'm gone. He says, you can sign the checks. I go to the bank and you can sign the checks. The boss leaves and the man says, no, you know, I've always wanted to have a boat. And he writes out a check for $10,000 or $20,000 for the boat. The boss comes back and says, what in the world have you been doing? When I gave you authorization to sign the name in the check, that didn't mean you could get anything you wanted. You're to ask for the interest of the firm, not for your own personal interests. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus meant. And he said, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, believing, ye shall receive. He says, I am the way. And isn't it wonderful to be able to come into the Father's presence and said, the Son sent me. Your Son sent me. And that's what we can do. And that's good for all of our life long. You know, there are times when we just don't know what to do. But the Bible says, let us come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Phillips translates that to find grace and help in the nick of time, just when I need it most. Just when I need it most. I'm the way. You know, we've got that all our life long. We can come into the Father's presence. The victory has been won over all the present. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Somebody has said, without the way, there's no going. Without the truth, he's the truth, there's no knowing. Without the life, there's no growing. He's absolutely indispensable all along life's way. How about the future? Well, he makes a word of promise concerning the future. The Christian already knows what his future is. That's wonderful. Now, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, or the next day, or next week, or next month. But I know what my future is. The Lord Jesus has given his word. And he gave his word to his disciples. And in his prayer in John chapter 17, he said, I don't pray for these alone. You know, he prayed for me too. But for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And if you believed on Christ as a result of John's word, and that verse has been quoted tonight, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John wrote that down. And if you believe that because it's recorded in the Gospel of John, you're saved. That's a wonderful thing. Neither, he says, I don't even pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe in me through their word. And you know, when we preach today, I give you what John said, and what Peter wrote, what the other apostles wrote. That's what we preach. We're just giving their word. We're just passing it on. Pass it on. Pass it on. And when you believe that word, why, you come under the blessing. You're assured that the Lord prayed for you. He said, I don't only pray for these alone, not for these apostles, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. And that's what we have. In the New Testament, we have their word. We have the word of the apostles. We have the apostles' doctrine. He says, here I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You say, well, I know that's true. Well, it's true because of who said it. And the Bible says that the one who said it is none other than God manifest in flesh. And the scripture says it is impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie. Some things he cannot do, and that's one thing he cannot do. It's absolutely contrary to his nature. God cannot lie. And the Lord Jesus said this, heaven and earth shall pass away. This world is going to be destroyed. People don't believe that. But we have it in 2 Peter chapter 3, the heavens, the earth, as we now see them, all going to be dissolved. It's all going up. It's all going to be burned up someday. The Bible tells us that clearly. It was once destroyed by a flood back in Noah's day. It's going to be destroyed by fire. Today we can see very easily how that could happen. Even with these atomic bombs or nuclear bombs, it could happen and fire would spread all over the world and everybody would consume. It's not going to happen in our time. The Lord Jesus is coming to take his people out of this world before it happens. I will come again and receive you unto myself, he says, that where I am there ye may be also. Judas, it says he went out, and it was night, sold himself for 30 pieces of silver, a wasted life. Judas said concerning what Mary did, he said, you know what she did? That could have been sold for 300 pieces of silver. 10 times as much as he got for betraying Christ. She had taken it, bought some perfume, poured it on Christ's body, broke it. She had no intention of using it for anything else. And Judas said, why was this waste of the ointment made? But the Lord Jesus uses exactly the same word. And he says of Judas, he was a son of perdition. He was a son of waste. His life was a complete waste. Even though he had accompanied with the Lord Jesus for 3.5 years, he'd seen all the mighty miracles he'd done. He went out into the darkness of an eternal night, and he has nothing to show for it. But Mary made an investment that has brought blessing to thousands of God's people. The Lord Jesus said, wheresoever this gospel is preached, this also that this woman hath done shall be told for a memorial of her. And she will reap eternal reward because the Lord said that even a cup of cold water given in his name will not fail to receive his reward. She will be everlastingly richer because of what Judas called a waste. Judas went out in the night But the Lord told his disciples, I'm not going out into the night. I'm just going away. He told them that in 3 days he would rise again, and he said, I'm going to go to the Father. He said, don't worry about it. You don't need to worry about the future. It's all in my hands. He said, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. When we turn to the Thessalonian epistles, it tells us the same thing. I would not have you to be ignorant, the apostle writes, concerning them that are asleep, those who have trusted Christ and have fallen asleep. That's what the Bible calls death of a Christian, sleep, the body. The body sleeps, not the soul. The soul goes to be with the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. We shall not all sleep, not all going into the grave. We shall all be changed. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ are going to be raised first, and the living then, and all going to be changed. The Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Jesus is coming. And so he says, let not your heart be troubled. And so, Christian, you can make the claim, this portion for yourself, because this was spoken to believers only, what the Lord had here. And it's true of anyone, anywhere, who personally trusts Christ as their Savior. The Lord says there's no reason whatever that you need to be troubled about the past. God has said to everyone that has trusted his Son, your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. My sin, all the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. The scripture says there is now, I don't have to wait till I die to find out, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I go to prepare a place for you, and so did. He went to the cross. And I look away at that cross, and I say with the Apostle Paul, marveling at the glorious fact the Son of God loved me, and gave himself for me. You can say the same too. Having trusted the Savior, you can say he loved me. Gave himself for me. As to the present, I am the way. I can come to the Father. He's opened the way. I can come to him at any time, any place, anywhere. I don't have to wait for the busy signal to get through. In my darkest moments, I can come at any time. I'm invited to come boldly. It says, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. He's given me a title. Come. And as to the future, he says, I will come again and receive into myself. And on the very last page of our Bibles, Revelation 22, he says it three times over. He says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this book. If you want to be happy, be obedient to the word of God. It says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Lord, you gave yourself at the cross. You mean you're going to give me something else? Yes. He's not only given us salvation, but for anything done out of love for Christ, it will not fail to receive its reward in that day. I'm not looking for the reward. Years ago, there was a young man in the state of Georgia. He was an only child of his mother. He lived in the northeastern section of Georgia. His mother scrimped and saved, scrounged, in order to send her only son down to Emory University in Atlanta. The day came, he often asked his mother to come down, and she said, "Oh, your mother, she's a mountaineer woman up in the northeastern section of Georgia. You know, I wouldn't look like anything among those fancy ladies down in Atlanta." So she always begged off. But the day came when he was being graduated from school. He prevailed on his mother to come, and she took the seat at the as far as the back as she could get so she could be out of sight of everybody, and sat on the last row. And to her utter amazement, her heart bursting with appreciation, she saw the president of Emory University as he pinned the gold medal on her son's lapel for the greatest academic achievement in his 4 years in college. Her son stepped down from the platform, and he walked all the way to the back. He pulled his mother to his feet, and he took that gold medal, and he filled it, pinned it on her old plain calico dress, said, "Mother, you earned this." And the Bible tells us that in that future day, yes, we will be rewarded, but says they cast their crowns at his feet, saying, "Thou art worthy." Yes. The next to the last verse of Revelation 22, it says, "Surely I come quickly." It's just the Greek word "yes." "Yes, I come quickly." And then you have the response. And it's the same word, only it's in two words, but it's even, so it says, "Yes, come, Lord Jesus." He's a complete Savior. One day he saved us from the penalty of sin. Now, because we can come to him for strength, he's saving us in a measure from the power of sin. And one glad day he's going to come from heaven. He's going to save us from the very presence of sin. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we see Jesus. We'll sing and we will shout the victory. Could we sing a little bit of that day in a hymn? And then we'll have a closing prayer. Number 616. 616. "In the land of fadeless day lies the city four square." You know, one of the most notable things about heaven is what won't be there. I was writing to a friend just the other day, and I said, you know, our daughter up in Grand Rapids, and I wasn't even there, but I know it's true. Our granddaughter just born, I said, she announced her coming with a cry. "God shall wipe away all tears. There is no death, nor pain, nor fears. And they count not time by years, for there's no night there." You can't imagine a world where there will be no more tears. But when the Lord comes, we'll kiss goodbye forever the tears and fears, cares of this life. What an incentive that should be for us to live for him. And this is the day of his grace. Let's sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of number 660, "In the Land of Fadeless Day."
"In the land of fadeless day lies the city four square. It shall never pass away, and there is no night." Blessed Lord, we thank thee that thou could say truly to us, "Let not your heart be troubled. We thank thee that thou didst take all of our sins and our sorrows. Thou didst make them thy very own. Thou didst bear the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous. How wonderful that our song shall ever be. Jesus gave himself for me. Blessed Lord, we're thankful for this reassuring word that thou didst say on the very day in which thou wast to be crucified, taken outside of Jerusalem's wall, with all that meant to thee to be made sin for us, and yet thou couldst say to thy disciples in that very, very important hour, let not your heart trouble. And those words can come ringing down the centuries to us this evening. And we would pray, Lord, indeed, that we would just recognize that thou art the one who alone can take our troubles and make them thy very own. Thou hast told us to cast our burdens upon thee, and thou wilt sustain them.